As I tell my students at school, the sooner we start, the sooner we get done. And they all go, start. Well, I'm Steve Alley. My claim to fame is that I'm married to Cora Alley. So, and there she is in the back of the room. Hi, Cora. 40 years we've been married. Woo! Woo! You know, that is really something in today's world, you know? We've had, maybe you have this too, we've had waiters and waitresses come up and ask us at restaurants, you know, so how long have you been married? Because they see that we're happy together. And we say 40 years, and they do one of these, no way! So, it's a witness just being married nowadays. So, isn't that good? Well, I'm sitting back there listening and watching and feeling and sensing, and I had this sense that this is like a briefing, a military briefing before they go on a patrol. And you are back there cleaning your weapons and tightening your belts, and you are an army, aren't you? In a sense, we are either restoring from a battle or getting ready for a battle. I want to know who you are, though. Raise your hand if you are a teacher in release time. All right. Keep your hands up. Just let me look. Okay. All right. Put your hands down. Raise your hand if you are in the children's ministry here at Calvary North Long Beach. Bless you. All right. So far, I don't think I saw hands. Raise your hand if you're both. Oh, my goodness. Great. Raise your hand if you're a janitor. Okay. Yes, that's true. Raise your hand if you're a police officer, a warden, a priest. Yes. Just keep it. Yeah, that's all of us. We're all the same way. Now I want you to show me the number of days, or let's call them sessions, that you teach release time during the week. So if you teach once a week, then hold up one. If you're teaching four or five times a week, hold up fingers. All right, so let me see your fingers. How many times a week you actually teach in release time? Wow, some of you are five, four. Bless you. That is amazing. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Now, one more time, you're teaching me who you are. How many times do you teach in a day? Do you go from one site to the next? Raise your hand if you're multiple teach during the week. Some of you are twice a day. Wow. And you get double pay for that, right? That's nice. You clock in, clock out. Oh, my goodness. And you are all volunteers, right? This is all volunteer. Wow, your blessometer in heaven is just going. So that's very good. Well, thank you for telling me who you are. That's amazing. And I guess many of you have been doing it for years. Hold up the number of fingers since we're doing this. How many years have you been doing release time? Hold them up. Some of you are going, I don't know when I started. Keep them up. I want to see. If you need more hands, look at that. In back, we've got 10. Wow, thank you. Lot of consistency. One, you just started. Nice. Are you the youngest here? Who's been doing it? Oh, now I'm calling attention to you, aren't I? Now, tell us a little bit about yourself. No. Has anyone just started other than her? Who's just started? Yes, sir. You have two. Good. Well, four of you. Good. Five of you. Five just started. Very nice. Oh, now that you're getting celebrated, other people are going, well, I guess I can raise my hand too. You didn't know what I was going to do with you, did you? You thought, am I going to have to go up front and, you know? Well, thank you. You are warriors in a world that is battling, and this battle is heating up, isn't it? In the last 6 months or a year, we've seen this battle grow. And it is wonderful, as Pastor John shared, that now we've got legislation that is starting to recognize. Release time's been going since 1929. Is that something like that? Is that what I read? And we are now getting legislation to recognize the value of this. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, that's not going to work. That is just not going to happen. But God does amazing stuff. You take children out of the public school and teach them about the Lord and send them back? Are you kidding me? I shared this with somebody yesterday at a church, Calvary Chapel, Honolulu, when I said, Cor and I are speaking at this conference, release time, and I told him what release time is. This was her reaction, and it's the reaction that I've gotten so many times. Are you kidding me? It's like, yeah, how can that be? The next question that they don't ask is that legal? So today I'm going to real quickly just encourage you. You are gearing up for another week. You might be exhausted. I don't know what the enemy does with you, but I would imagine that the enemy is very creative with you, right? Very creative and very loud. And you have to discern the enemy's voice, and the enemy's voice says things like this. You should stop doing this. It's a waste of time. You're going to get in trouble. Kids hate it. Parents hate it. You're terrible. Stop. And he probably shouts that in your head all the time, trying to discourage you and depress you. He also probably causes flat tires. I would imagine that there are all kinds of attacks, right? Did you just have one this week? Now, of course, ma'am, of course you get out and change the tire yourself, right? Do you have a roadie crew that drives along with you? I've always wondered this too. Raise your hand if you drive and set up the trailer or the thing that you use. Raise your hand if you're a driver and a teacher. Oh, some of you go, no. Do I drive? I don't know. Let's see. What do I do? So some of you are drivers and teachers. That means if you're not a driver, you have a driver that drives and parks for you. Wow, that's nice. That's very nice. And do they feed you grapes as you teach and fan you, right? Is there anything I can do for you today, ma'am? Oh, and it's nice to see men doing this. That is so great. Because, oh my goodness, boys are confused about what a man is. And I guess if I'm a boy, I'm just going to change my sex and become like everybody, and I'm going to be whatever they call Bruce Jenner now. That's what the world is saying. Be so confused about being a man that you're going to change yourself into a woman. Oh, man, so bless you men who are doing this. Bless you women as well. Girls are just as confused as boys are. What am I about? This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but I'm just chatting with you. So these are the things that I'm going to zoom through, who, what, where, and who. And so the challenge for you is to think about who you are first. You are first a leader of others in ministry. Now, I realize I have a mixed audience here, so I'm being very careful not to just slant toward release time because I know there are non-release time people in here. They slipped in the back. Quick, let's get in. I don't think Sally sees us. You're a children's teacher, an age level volunteer. Okay, so I'm not going to have you raise hands, but this is who you are here. You have devoted many years to ministry. You have amazing successes. Wouldn't it be great? This is what we're going to do in heaven, I'm sure. We're going to share success stories. Or maybe we won't care when we get to heaven. There's going to be that one person in heaven who goes, can I tell you a story? And we're going to go, no, I really don't care about that anymore. That's old. I'm in heaven now. You've had humbling defeats. Raise your hand if you've had what you determined to be a defeat in your ministry. And you got over it. You know, isn't God amazing? We crawl home. We crawl into our bed or wherever, we get into a fetal position, and we go, I'm done. I am so done. And the Lord lets us do that like Elijah in the cave. And he goes, okay, just, it's all right. But eventually God's going to poke you in the hip and he's going to say, get up and get out there. Enough of this crying. You've had overwhelming challenges. I'm not sure I understand all of the overwhelming challenges, but I'm sure you face them. Do these kids want to walk out to your trailer, your class? Yes. So what I've seen most of it is that these are children who are looking forward to it. I saw one video somewhere as I looked online about this. One girl with tears in her eyes was sharing the fact that this is her only church. Her parents don't take her to church. Is that fairly consistent with what you're seeing? Wow. Yet, oh Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. You are a champion of God. You are not alone. God is not in heaven going, now, what were we doing with those trailers again? Would you, hey, tell me what's going on with that? Oh my goodness, he's right there with you. So he wants to continue to support you. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So do you feel like the Lord is determining your steps every day, every week? He better, because, oh my goodness, you're in the battle zone. So who are you? He placed you in a position of influence. He gave you the gifts, abilities you need. He has shaped you into the who you are now. He has called you to be where you are. It's good. It may not always feel good, but it's good. Can you think about your life? Can you go back and look at all the things he did to prepare you, to get you to where you are now? Oh my goodness. And this is an area where age is good. This world is changing so much that if you're not young, if you're not 30 with your hair spiked up, you're no good anymore. Well, yeah, in release time and in children's ministry, gray is good because we have that wisdom. So if you're not gray yet, that's all right. We'll still love you. Does this mean that your ministry will always be easy? You will never wonder about your calling? The sound is on and everything. You think this is going to work? We'll try. You'll never wonder about your calling. You'll never feel drained or exhausted. Oh, my goodness. Does that mean that? You never have these problems, right? You never wonder. You never feel drained. You never get discouraged. Oh, man. Yeah. No. Wasn't that dramatic? So I'm going to now give you a little bit of a... We'll have to adjust the sound to make sure it's right. I did a quick little overview video highlighting who you are and thanking the Lord for who you are. So sit back and enjoy a little bit of celebration for who you are.
After God was pushed out of the public school system, and even mentioning the Bible became offensive, God knew he had to fight back. It pained him to know how many children didn't go to church. So God made a children's minister. God said, I need somebody willing to work hard all week long, taking care of the job site or the family needs, while also thinking and praying for the children that will come to the trailer or bus this week. I need someone who will collect learning supplies, design fun adventures, make craft examples, and donate whatever is needed to help children meet Jesus personally. So God made a children's minister. I need someone with arms strong enough to set up the classroom, yet gentle enough to comfort a hurting child. Somebody to settle down a room full of energetic children, lead worship, and yet be a calming ambassador for me to every child that comes to the class. So God made a children's minister. God said, I need somebody willing to work all night on a lesson or classroom experience. Then, if the experience doesn't work out, take a breath and whisper to the Lord, help me get better at this. I need someone who can use every inch of a small classroom, make the Bible come alive to first graders and sixth graders, be strong in the face of political or legal pressure, and become a friend to the friendless, and who, after teaching a challenging class, is asked to go to another site and substitute for a fellow teacher, all without grumbling. so God made a children's minister. God had to have somebody willing to minister to a room full of children with only one assistant, and yet keep smiling when the air conditioner in the small classroom stops working during a hot September day. So God made a children's minister. God said, I need somebody strong enough to set up a mobile classroom, yet gentle enough to soothe an emotional child, solve arguments between children, and comfort a child whose parents are getting a divorce. It has to be somebody who would stand strong in the face of society's compromises and not water down God's word. Somebody to teach, preach, lead, feed, challenge, rebuke, and encourage children to follow Jesus with smiles that come from the Lord despite the challenges or limitations of the ministry. Somebody who'd use the curriculum as a starting point and then ask the Holy Spirit for creativity in making that short time with the children a life-changing experience that they would never forget, and who, after pouring everything into the lesson, would say to the Lord, thank you, God, for using me. Show me what you want me to do next week. So God made a children's minister.
So you are a powerful, powerful person. You are a life changer, but you can get discouraged. We are human, right? And the problem with being human is that you kind of forget about who you are and what the Lord has given you. So the next thing is, what's in your hand? You have fears, you have doubts, you have needs, right? Hello? Yes? Okay, good. Yes. Wouldn't it be great if when you accepted the Lord, you don't have these anymore? He just kind of magically took it over and we're going, yes, it's nice. Oh my goodness, it's almost like you have more of these sometimes than you did before you were a Christian. So do you ever feel like Moses sometime? Moses, he was surprised by God's calling. He was worshipful yet doubting, and he had to be convinced. Yeah, how many times did he say to the Lord, but what if, but what if? And that really and eventually got him in trouble. So he had what is termed a shepherd's staff. Now, a shepherd's staff was the identity of the shepherd, right? You've probably heard teachings about this. You've probably maybe even taught about this yourself. It was a mixture of a rod and a staff. There are some people that think that was the same tool, and some people think they had a rod on their belt and they also had a staff. The staff was identifying who this person was. So this is my identity. I am a shepherd. See my staff. So the staff was something that was very tightly connected to who Moses was. So he comes to the bush. It's burning. He has his staff in his hand. And what does God say to do with this staff? Well, so much for your biblical knowledge, right? Is this what you do in your release time classes? You're all thinking, no, I know I taught on that once. We'll clarify here. So, God has called you to make disciples, influence children and their parents. Do you have any connection with parents other than a form? They have permission, right? And that's it. Lead, inspire other adults. Do you have other adults in your class, or is it just you? Raise your hand if you have another person in your classroom. Okay, good. Raise your hand if you had a part in recruiting or discipling that person. Okay, so that's nice. All right. So here's what you have in your hand. This was Moses' identity. He had a lot of stuff wrapped up in this staff. He was a leader. He killed things. He protected sheep. He was trusting. So you have your gifts, your interests, your talents, your experiences, your possessions, your money, your time, your smile, your eyes. Oh, those eyes are huge nowadays, aren't they? Eye connection. Nobody gets that anymore because we're so electronic. Your voice, your supportive touch, your love of children, your interest in their lives, and there's more. Your memory of their prayer requests, your love of those who serve with you, your interest in their lives, your position in the church and CM Children's Ministry team, your position as a release time teacher, your knowledge of God's word, your knowledge of how life works, and your wisdom. This is what's in your hand. Oh my goodness. That's something, isn't it? Shall we look back? Gifts, interests, talents. Who cares what your talents are? It's there. So you have these things in your hand. You know what God told Moses to do? Oh, there's more. Your submission to the power moving of the Holy Spirit, your creativity, the Bible is in your hand, and your curriculum, but only as a starting point. Do the kids come to your classroom saying, can you please tell us another lesson? No, they come for you. So what does God tell Moses to do? He says, throw it down. And throwing it down was scary. He did not ever drop this thing because this was his identity. So God says, okay, all these things, throw it down. You're going, but this is who I am. Throw it down. All right, enough. That's enough. It's hard, isn't it, to throw it down? Now you're thinking about Disney and freezing things, aren't you? So this is what we do. We throw it down, and the Lord then uses it and does all kinds of things. So I'm going to zoom through the rest of this because we're out of time. Is your task impossible? No. The kids come to me. I teach them. I send them away. It's not impossible. It's a little bit unrealistic, though. You have people saying, what? You do what? Do you have unrealistic hours? Those of you, when I said, how many times a week do you do this? You did this or you did this, and sometimes you do it twice. That's pretty hard. You pack up and go. When you do it twice in a day, do you do it twice at the same site? No. So your driver and your roadie crew packs up your trailer and drives to another place. You're like a secret agent. So it may be unrealistic hours if you're doing it twice in a day. Unrealistic expectations? Maybe so. Maybe, yeah, you make something of these weird kids. But really, it's the Lord's expectations that you're doing it with him and for him. You do what God has called you to do faithfully. He sees. He knows. Moses had to remember who he was and who God was. I call this pushing through. So maybe you experience this. Maybe you don't. There are many times I'm a children's pastor at Harvest Orange County. There are many times I'm sitting in my car before I go into the building. I'm sitting there going, I don't want to go there. I know I'm empowered by the Lord. I know, I get it. But my humanness says, I don't want to go there. So I call it pushing through. Paul says he beats his body. He pummels himself. So I think Paul had the same thing. Maybe you have the same thing in the morning before you drive up to the school area. You go, I don't want, no. And you do push through. You take that first step like the priests had to do. They had to put their feet in the water, right? And as soon as you do it, God goes, great, nice. Nice to see you. Thank you. Let's go do this. But he could let you sit in the car or in your bed, right? So push yourself through. Remember your calling, your God. Surround yourself with who knows you and encourages you. Committed for life means that you don't give up. It requires that you focus on God, remain faithful, and push through the challenges in his power. So where are you going? This is Moses and the crossing of the Red Sea. Ten Commandments. Do you do that with your class? Do you go, then you open up the door? Behold. All right, for the sake of time, I'm going to stop that. And these are the people who are watching you do what you do. And they can't believe that public school kids are going to come out into your class. All right, that's enough. So this is where Moses was going, wandering all around. See the little red dots? This is just silly. I'm going to end with something, and then we will end with this. When they crossed the Jordan River for the final time, and I think they had done it twice, right? Did they cross water three times or twice? They did it at the Red Sea when Egyptians were following them. Was that at the Jordan as well? Did they only do two or three? Two. All right. So they've done this before. Waters parted. Everybody walked through. This was Joshua leading them. This time Moses wasn't there. They got on the other side. This is Joshua 4. And the waters didn't close. And on the other side, they're scratching their heads. All right, we've done it. This is not right. The waters should... So God told Joshua, all right, this is what I'm doing. I didn't close it like before. I want you to tell one person from every tribe to go back into the middle of that squishy, muddy thing and get a stone that's big enough to carry and come back to the other side and build a stack, a pile of stones. And this was at a place called Gilgal. And that place became a point of remembrance. So after that, they went out to battles. They would always go to Gilgal and remember who God was. So it's important for you to have a Gilgal. It's important for you to have a place of remembrance because the enemy is going to tell you, don't do this. You can't do this. Just give up. You're not making any sense anyway. These kids aren't listening. You might as well just forget it. And you need to have a place where you go back to and say, but God, I remember that you had told me this. So at Gilgal, they started telling stories about how God brought them through the wilderness. Their feet, the shoes didn't wear out. He gave them food. He gave them water. And everybody goes, okay, yes, now we can go battle the wars that we have to battle because now we know. So do you have a Gilgal? Do you have a time in your life when you knew for sure that God was with you? It could be the day you got saved. It could be some miracle that you said, this is God. I want you